Come and worship, come and worship, come and worship Christ, the King of Kings. Thank you.
morning. It's a good day to gather in the Lord's house this Thanksgiving week. What a wonderful way to begin our time of worship this morning with our Elon Bronze. We look forward to hearing them a little bit later in the worship this morning. As we gather here this morning, I do want to remind you about some other ministry opportunities we have coming up in the life of our church. I do want to remind you that this evening we do have our adult Bible study at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be wrapping up that study, The Faithful, so come out at 4 o'clock for that study. Children and adults, I do want to remind you about our studies also as well at 5 o'clock this afternoon. So all age groups are meeting this evening. I do also want to remind you, and you heard about this last week a little bit as well, in the last couple weeks, our Salvation Army Angel Tree is outside in the vestibule. You will saw that as you came down the hallway. Someone has already brought the gifts for their Angel Tree. Someone has been early shopping. And this is a wonderful opportunity to help in our community. Many other of those ornaments are still on the tree, so I want to encourage you today as you leave this morning to stop by the Angel Tree and look at some of the items that are needed in our community. You pick that ornament off, take it home with you. The items on that ornament are due back on Sunday, December 8th, so please participate in this wonderful opportunity. It is a way to help in our community this Advent season, this Christmas season. Many other opportunities coming up in the life of our church you can find out in the newsletter that are found in the vestibule. Many of you received that by email this week. Janice worked hard on getting that done this week, so please look at those many opportunities. We've got a fun and fellowship trip coming up to Bear Creek to Southern Supreme coming up on December 2nd. You will notice that Advent starts next Sunday. We will look forward to a wonderful worship opportunity next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock with a Hanging of the Greens worship service. Next Sunday morning at 11, we will be a wonderful opportunity to adorn our sanctuary with the signs and those Christmas decorations that have special meaning for the life of our church and for the life of many of us this Advent season. So I want to encourage you to come out next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for that wonderful time of worship. Many other things going on in the life of our church. I do want to remind you, and we're going to hear more details about the community Thanksgiving service in just a few minutes, but immediately following the worship service today, we need some help. As you see, we have bells on the pulpit this morning, and a lot of our pulpit furniture has been taken down for this morning's worship service. However, we have a lot of pulpit furniture that needs to be placed back up on the pulpit for that Tuesday night service here. So immediately following worship, we have some able-bodied individuals, able-backed individuals that will be willing to stay around for about 5 or 10 minutes after worship to help us get the sanctuary set up for that worship service on Tuesday. We would greatly appreciate that. Now, at this time, if I could call Sally Farnham to come up and share a few moments, announcement about from the Pastor Search team.
Good morning. It seems like it wasn't that long ago that we had the last update, but we have gotten a lot done in between that time, and I'd like to just share where we're at. Last time I think we updated, we were making a job description, and we were going to place it on some sites where candidates could see that we needed a senior pastor, and they could reply and give us their resume and cover letters and things like that. We received many applicants. And over the last few weeks, we have met weekly, and we have gone through a lot of applicants. We've made lists and piles of 1, 2, 3s, and we've narrowed it down to a very short list. And this past week, those folks that made the short list received another email congratulating them and asking them to answer some more in-depth questions so we can get to better know them and hopefully maybe even narrow that list down even more to a smaller short list. We have hit a place right now where you all know, like I do, your schedule from here till probably January 1st, 2nd, 3rd is going to be crazy. If you've got kids, we've got parades and concerts, and trying to do interviews in the middle of this time of the year is going to be difficult. But over the next few weeks, we will continue to meet. We're going to review these questions that come in from the pastors that are applying. And we're going to be getting our ducks in a row, making sure we have our interview questions down. also thinking the opposite way, because I can see sitting in an interview and having someone ask me something about our church and going, I don't know, I need to get back to you. So we need to make sure that we know who we are so we can make a very good impression on anybody that's interviewing. So we're going to be getting our ducks in a row for these interviews that we're going to be conducting, as well as looking over their information. So we ask that you be patient in this next few steps, because it is probably going to be after the first of the year before we start these interviews, but we are making progress, and keep praying for us. We don't want to rush through this. As much as we'd like to be done and have somebody here now, we want this to be God's time, and we want to be able to pray and really, really make sure that we get the right person to serve us as our next pastor. So I thank you for your patience. If you have any questions, please feel free to tug one of our ears. But that's all.
Continue to be in prayer for the pastor search team in the coming weeks and months, and those candidates. Continue to be in prayer for them as they prayerfully consider the call that God has placed on their hearts. As we prepare for our worship service this morning, let's go to scripture this morning. Our opening scripture passage comes from Galatians chapter 4, reading verses 4 through 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come to you today knowing that you have made us your sons and daughters, and we give you thanks for that. We give you thanks that we are part of your family, and we gather here as a family united, seeking your will, seeking your call. Father, as we lift up praise to you, as we lift up this prayer to you, as we read your word, as we reflect on the message that Norman is going to bring to us in just a few moments, may we be moved as a family, united, called to seek and do your will. Father, we just come to you this day, united. We lift this prayer up to you this day in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 94, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Please stand.
Thank you.
this Tuesday. We have an opportunity to gather with our community churches here in Elon to worship together as a community. This is something that we look forward to every single Thanksgiving season. So this Tuesday night, on November 26th at 7 p.m. here at First Baptist Elon, we have the opportunity to host our community Thanksgiving service. Our church, along with four other churches from our community, will gather here for a night of worship and a night of fellowship. At 7 o'clock, we'll gather here in the sanctuary. We will be led in worship by a combined choir. Gay will be leading our combined choir of 40-plus members from our community. It'll be a night of wonderful music, a night of scripture, of prayer. We will be collecting a love offering for Salvation Army that evening. Also bringing the message that night will be Reverend Adam Benson from First United Methodist Church of Elon. We look forward to him being with us that night and bringing the word that God has placed on his heart. But it'll be a wonderful night of worship, and I encourage all of you to come. Invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite your family members for a wonderful night of worship in here, and then it'll be followed by a wonderful night of fellowship. And this is something that we look forward to hosting. Every church does it a little bit different, and I had a wonderful opportunity to sit down with our Elon ministers this week on Wednesday. And when we were talking about the worship service on Tuesday, they always said, "Oh, we get to go to the Baptist church. They know how to feed us." And so we have to live up to our reputation. And so I encourage you to come out on Tuesday, but also don't forget to bring your finger foods with you. So come to that night of worship. And if you are unable to come for that night of worship, please be willing to bring a finger food by the church, even if you can't come on Tuesday. We will be collecting those items here at the church on Monday and Tuesday. The office will be open. Gay and myself will be here. I know Mom and Paul are going to be here on Tuesday morning to collect those items as well. So you can bring the finger food items by the church anytime this week to drop them off in the kitchen. But it will be a wonderful night of fellowship and worship, and it will be a night that you will not want to miss. So I encourage you to come out Tuesday night at 7 o'clock and join us for a community-wide Thanksgiving worship service.
Our offertory hymn this morning is We Three Kings, hymn number 113, and we'll sing the first and second verses. Let's stand and worship.
Let us pray. Lord, as we come into this Thanksgiving week, please help us to focus on being grateful. Too often our prayers are filled with impatience over what we want instead of gratitude for what we already have. Remind us today and in the coming year what is truly important. Remind us to give thanks for family and friends. Remind us to be grateful for the work you have given us. Remind us to appreciate our material blessings and be generous givers to further your kingdom. But most of all, remind us today and every day to give thanks for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice he made for us to give us eternal life with you in heaven. Amen.
Thank you.
enjoying sitting in the congregation so much, I thought I'd linger a little bit. It's a lot of toys up here, and that's good. Thank you for the gifts. Although it was interesting, everybody gathers before the end gathering, it looks like. I do want to say one thing about that before our scripture reading and prayer. Last Sunday morning, a young fellow named Caleb Collins came in with his grandmother, Diane, and he had two big bags of toys. And I said, wow, that's nice. And so I asked, you know, what are they for? And she said that during the year, each month, they buy a toy, and they collect them all year long and then decide what to do with them. And he heard about our prison ministry gifts, and he wanted to give all of his to that. And so he did. Thought you'd like to know that. And I am officially old now. I can see you good, but I can't see anything here. A couple more weeks, and we'll start a new one. Let's see. I can see now. Our scripture will be from Matthew's gospel, but we're going to pray first. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we gather in a spirit of worship and praise this morning and thanksgiving for the joy of being able to get up this morning and the joy and privilege of gathering as your people in this place to worship and to fellowship and to give thanks and to share gifts with others. Father, you are so gracious and kind to us, and we give you thanks. And we pray that we would follow in your ways and be gracious and merciful to others. We pray that your Spirit will speak through us today, that we may hear your message and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. May we have ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to share what you have for us in this day. We make our prayer in the name of Christ. Amen. During the next few weeks, this is a pain in the neck, let me tell you. I'm going to do the three gifts of Christmas. Of course, they can't do them 3 weeks in a row, and we're a week early, but we're having Hanging of the Greens next week, Cantata another week, and they are wonderful, wonderful services. And so I've interspersed along the way. But to get them all in by Christmas, we have to start today. So, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me, so I too may go and worship him. And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word this morning. Obviously, Christmas is a time for gift giving. We've got lots of gifts here for prison ministry. We've got angel tree gifts on the way. Don't forget your angel tree tag when you leave this morning. Everybody seems to give gifts at Christmas. And we know that God gave us the ultimate gift of his son. And he was given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So this morning we are going to consider the gift of gold, the first of the three Christmas gifts. You know, there's lots of turmoil in the world, as you know and I know. And of course, one of those lands where there is turmoil, and we read about them all the time, is Iran. And Iran was also in the Christmas story some 2,000 years ago. Of course, it wasn't called Iran back in those days. It was called Persia. And Persia was the home and the starting point for the Magi. Sometimes the Magi, you know, are called wise men. Myths and legends abound and have multiplied over the years and the centuries until the biblical story about the Magi has been lost to fiction and fables. Ancient legend says that there were 12 wise men. But that number has kind of dwindled to three. And we suspect it's down to three because three gifts were given to young Jesus. So now we assume there were only three wise men. The Magi were a religious class of astronomers and astrologers. The name is related to our word magic, and in certain ways they were magicians. If they lived in our days, we might consider them to be New Age. They were certainly not Jews. They did not know the Hebrew Scriptures. They were Gentiles. In fact, they were pagans. They were hardly the sort of people you would lump together with angels and shepherds and Mary and Joseph and all the other characters we read about in the Christmas story. As students of the stars, the Magi were fascinated by what they had observed in the night sky. It was a special star that had beckoned them to the west. It was a supernatural star. It was a star outside of natural astronomy. Now, there were rumors floating around in the ancient world that a special king was coming, and some said that king would be a Jew. And so it took exceptional courage for the Magi to embark on a 2-year journey following that star to find the king. They spent a fortune in money and a significant sacrifice of time on this journey of faith that they undertook. We Christians seem to think of others as our enemies because their beliefs and traditions are far from our own. I believe good old Matthew wrote the Magi into the Christmas story to remind us that there are seekers from every race, every religion, and every nationality being drawn to Jesus. The Magi traveled as far as Jerusalem, and then they got stuck. And so they did what no self-respecting male would do in our day. They asked for directions. And from the king, no less. They went to King Herod. And it gives us the impression from reading this that these Magi were wealthy, powerful tourists. Some have even speculated that they may have been royalty or kings. That's why we sing We Three Kings. They may have been royalty themselves, and they needed to be to gain an audience with King Herod. Remember, Herod was called the Great. Under the authority of the Roman Empire, Herod ruled Israel for 40 years. King Herod summoned the Jewish chief priests and the biblical scholars to answer the question that the Magi had presented, where is the one born king of the Jews? And it didn't take them long. The scholars knew. They quoted the prophet Micah, who predicted that the king of the Jews would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was 6 miles from Jerusalem. The Magi had traveled nearly 2 years, but the biblical scholars couldn't bother to walk 6 miles to see the king. And sometimes that's the way it is even in our day. Those who have God's word, who know God's word, are reluctant to share it. And they're not as open about this as even some official pagans. You would think that Herod would want to worship that God-sent king. Instead, he felt threatened and he wanted to kill him. You might think that these religious leaders and biblical scholars of the time who knew what had been predicted, they would run to Bethlehem to see this thing that had come to pass. They didn't have time to bother. Herod lied and manipulated. He said he wanted to worship the child. Just tell me where he is. I want to go and worship him too. He requested that information. He wanted to know the location. But the Magi, meanwhile, combined scripture and that star to reach their destination in Bethlehem. And when they reached that place, when they saw that star, when they arrived in Bethlehem, when they found Jesus, Scripture says they were overjoyed. Happiness, excitement, thrill, enthusiasm. They had reached their destiny. They had reached their dream. They had come to Jesus. And if we close our eyes this morning, most of us can imagine the scene because we've seen it on 1,000 Christmas cards. Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, and cattle and shepherds and wise men and camels, angels and starlight. Just imagine all that. Well, almost everything we imagine is wrong. Matthew says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Nearly 2 years had passed since Jesus was born and placed in that manger. His family now lived in a house and not a barn. The shepherds and the angels had long ago gone back home. Jesus was no longer a baby, he was a child. Picture this. A caravan of camels pulls up outside of Joseph's home in Bethlehem. The neighbors are peeking out the windows. Some of them have nerve enough and they go out in the street to see what in the world is going on. Where did all these camels come from? What are these people doing here? The Magi, on the other hand, are giddy with excitement. They are overwhelmed with excitement, and so they rush to the door and they knock. And 22-month-old Jesus runs to answer. His mother calls for him, "Wait, wait, wait," instinctively trying to protect him from strangers and unknown dangers. But he's too fast for her. And so toddler Jesus lifts the latch and throws open the door just as his mother catches up to him. And everyone stops and gasps. Joseph, Mary, Jesus, especially Mary and Jesus, they are stunned by the sight of men dressed in expensive foreign clothes. And the Magi are stunned by the appearance of a king less than 3 feet tall. Can you imagine? Jews and Gentiles, foreigners and locals, rich and poor, famous Magi who had just been with King Herod the Great, an obscure mother and son who live in a mud brick house. Before anyone can say a word, the Magi bow down and worship this not quite two-year-old. They worship. They treat him as more than a king. They treat him as God. You know, Mary was a wonderful woman, good and godly, specially chosen by God to be the mother of his son. She was blessed by God. But they worshiped Jesus, not Mary, Jesus. The Magi stopped, bowed, and worshiped Jesus. I imagine that Mary and Joseph, being the hospitable people that they were, invited the Magi in to their home. And if it was a typical house of the day, it was an inside courtyard with rooms around it. And so rugs would have been hastily gathered for everyone to sit. And the Magi opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. Now, we're not really sure why these gifts were chosen or how much gold, incense, and myrrh was given. Perhaps there was no special significance at all. Perhaps these were just the standard gifts exchanged among important people of that time. But I find significance, whether the Magi did or not. As for the amount, I think the gifts presented to Jesus were probably huge. Wealthy pilgrims do not travel for 2 years to worship a future king and bring only trinkets and tokens. They bring treasures. And I imagine a chest full of treasures. After all, the word worship implies significance and sacrifice. Gold has always been a symbol of royalty. Kings have large reserves of gold. Crowns were made of gold. Taxes collected in gold. Armies paid in gold. Gold is a sign of royalty. The gift of gold declared the rule and reign of King Jesus. Royalty. He may have lived in a modest home in Bethlehem while Herod lived in a lavish palace in Jerusalem, but Jesus was the true king. The Magi gave gold to King Jesus, and they skipped town to avoid King Herod. Who's the real king? Jesus. The gift of gold declared the kingship of Jesus over more than just the Jews. He was also the king of the Gentiles, the Persians, the Iranians, people of every nation, language, and tribe, King of Kings. That's what gold symbolizes. Did those Magi understand the full truth that Jesus was the Son of God? Did they give gold with the expectation that he would someday rule the entire universe? Did they know that he was the promised Messiah, the Son of David, the Savior of sinners who would die on a cross and be raised from the dead? Of course they didn't know all of that, but they acted on the little information that they had. They worshiped in simple faith, and they gave out of the generosity of their hearts. The Magi did not realize how much of a king Jesus really was, but God knew how much of a king he was. And so God allowed the Magi to declare his son's royalty and to provide the necessary money for his family to escape to Egypt to save his life from Herod's attempt to assassinate him. That's pretty good planning, wasn't it? And now it's our turn. Your turn and my turn. Is Jesus on your Christmas list? What are you going to give your king for his birthday this year? Will it be gold or perhaps something else of value? Will you worship him alongside the Magi and give him a gift out of your treasure? Inspired by the gift givers in Matthew chapter 2, O. Henry published a fictional short story in 1936 that has become a Christmas classic, and many of you know it. But if you don't, I'm going to tell you. Della and Jim were a newly married young couple who were very, very poor and yet very, very much in love. They had no money to buy each other gifts for their first Christmas together. So Della goes to a wig maker where she agrees to sell her knee-length, magnificent brown hair. It is her prized possession and her mark of beauty. And it's her only way to get some money to buy a Christmas present for her husband. With her hair cut short and her scalp shining, she says a little prayer, "Please, God, make him think I'm still pretty. And with that money, she goes and buys a gold chain for Jim's pocket watch. Jim loves that watch. It is his most prized possession. The watch belonged to his father and his grandfather. And on Christmas Eve, Jim comes home to see Della's shorn head, bald. But he receives her gift of love. And then he tells her that he sold the watch to buy tortoiseshell combs with jeweled edges that she so wanted to wear in her hair. At the end of the story, O. Henry writes this. He says, "Here I have lamely related to you the uneventful chronicle of two foolish children who most unwisely sacrificed for each other the greatest treasure of their house. But in a last word to the wise of these days, let it be said that of all who give gifts, these are the wisest. Of all who give and receive gifts such as they are wisest. Everywhere they are the wisest, for they are the Magi." Those ancient Magi loved Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. And when their love was so great, they gave, because we sacrifice when we love. And out of their treasures, they gave gold. This Christmas, may we be counted among the Magi, seeking Jesus, overjoyed with Jesus, who worship Jesus, who love Jesus, who give to Jesus. And so this morning, I invite you to come to Jesus and have your dreams fulfilled. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, who is not only the King of Kings, but he is Lord of Lords. And we pray if there are those in our midst this day who desire to make that first commitment to Jesus, that they would come and accept them as Savior and Lord of their life and follow in believer's baptism. For those of us, Lord, who claim the name Christian, may we search our own hearts, that we may be counted among the Magi who love Jesus, who worship Jesus, and who give sacrificially for his kingdom. Thank you for loving us and giving us the greatest gift of all. And we make our prayer in his name and for his sake. Amen. Would you come as we sing our invitation hymn this morning?
Thank you.
Pray. Father, we thank you for that indescribable gift, the gift of your Son. May we worship him, love him, and share him with others as we go into the world. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.